This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 24th of January 2021. Today's News West has no fixed theme and we're reporting on a variety of topics, including a Silent Key tribute. Today you'll hear about a couple of contests coming up soon, some news from space, and refreshingly, our space news actually concerns amateur radio. And we have information on the new gardening net, ham college activities, another comment on the ACMA call sign story, and we took the portable recording studio to FT500, the Wireless Hill celebration of the 500th episode of F-Troop. News West targets the VK6 amateur radio community and is available on air, online, and on demand. We have a decent following both at home, in Western Australia, interstate, and internationally. Discover your listening options at our website, vk6.net. Laurie Gooding, VK6 Golf Lima, late of Australind, passed away last week on the 16th of January. Laurie was the father of four, with 12 grandchildren and 25 great-grandchildren. Laurie's wife Dulcie passed away some time ago. Laurie passed away peacefully, aged 99 years, only a little short of his 100th birthday, which would have been on the 4th of March. Laurie's family have been farmers for many years, starting off in Harvey in the dairy business. Then he sold out in Harvey and moved over to Darkin to commence farming sheep and grain. Darkin is on the road between Collie and Arthur River. He moved to Australind later in life. Laurie was an amateur radio operator for a very long time. I believe he got his amateur radio license, or at least gained the VK6GL call sign, in early 1964. Over the last couple of years, Laurie gradually became quite deaf. His eyesight was also deteriorating, so being able to operate his radios became almost impossible, which was a great shame as he loved his hobby. Laurie was a regular on the 8 a.m. Bernie Gates Shaver's Net for many years, but not recently. A highlight every morning on the Shaver's Net was that Laurie would give a wind speed reading in his weather report based on the angle of the piece of string he had hanging outside the window of his shack. Laurie's other hobby was the restoration of old cars. He had mobility problems and got around in a wheelchair or with a walking frame. Despite that, he managed to restore, or partly restore, three rugby vintage cars that he had in his shed. His current project is a rugby 1928 model, which was about 50% completed. Laurie would somehow manage to retrieve pieces of timber from overhead racks and turn them into parts for the frame for the cars. Laurie's interest in amateur radio was in VHF and up, and had some pretty impressive results in VHF and UHF contests, and also in 6 meters DX, including working into Europe during the really big 6 meter opening in February 92. A quick search of historic amateur radio magazines revealed the level of Laurie's involvement in activities on 6 metres and up. He frequently had a mention in the magazine. Other internet searches revealed that Laurie, an active member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, was involved in a global network of SDA amateur radio operators, part of whose work was to provide communications to remote missionary stations. And thanks to Bill VK6 Whiskey Juliet, Graham VK6 Rotten Oranges, and Ron VK6 Alpha Romeo Echo for sharing information about Laurie. Now, Laurie's funeral is tomorrow, that's the 25th of January, which is Monday. It will be a graveside service at the Australind Cemetery, Old Coast Road in Australind. The wake will be held at the Bunbury Seventh-day Adventist Church, corner of Victoria and Woodley Roads in Glen Iris, and Glen Iris is an eastern suburb of Bunbury. So Vale, Laurie Gooding, VK6GL, Silent Key. Well, today I was full of good intentions. I went all the way down to Wireless Hill to see what all the fuss was about with the FT500. And FT500 means F-Troop, 500th episode. Yep, they've been going that long, so that must be just under 10 years that F-Troop has been running. But anyway, I went down there to Wireless Hill, and I set out to record people to say who they were and whether or not they have been present at all 500 episodes. Knowing full well that probably nobody has. But anyway, I spoke to quite a few people, including Ono, who runs F-Troop. And when I get home, my portable recording studio, better known as my mobile phone, presented me with a nearly 10-minute long audio file that it wouldn't play when I went to retrieve the file off my phone and get it onto my computer to see what I could do with it. It vanished into thin air, no trace. Goodness knows what happened to it, so all those nice things everyone said about everybody else are in the ether now, and we'll have to take them as read. Terribly sorry about that. It's what you call a technical difficulty, I guess. But it was a good show. It was a good turnout there. Glenn brought along some breakfast, some bacon and egg rolls, still warm, that was very nice, and somebody else provided some banana cake, so we didn't go away hungry at all. And while we were there, the F-Troop net was conducted on the VK6 RLM repeater and goodness knows how many link-ups via Echolink, etc., etc. Ono was certainly busy running the net while the rest of us stood around and had chats, made silly jokes about what they're doing on air. You know how it goes. So again, apologies for the technical difficulty, but you can't do much with a file that doesn't appear to be there anymore. So, Ono, I'm sorry I can't play the interview that I did with you. Next 500, maybe.
Next week is the News West Club Focus edition. In this episode, clubs are given the space to promote themselves and what they are getting up to. It's your club's chance to bang your own drum, blow your own trumpet, and fly your flag. You may think that what your club does is pretty ordinary. However, to other people, it may well prove fascinating, stimulating some new ideas for something to get up to. There's a few ways to get a club item to us for News West. You could write and record the item in your own voice. This is the preferred method because it is your story and your voice. If recording isn't an option, send your text and someone from the news team can record it, or give us a yell and we can hook up on Skype or something similar and record it as an interview, with a guarantee that bloopers, ums and ahs, and spousal interruptions can be excised, thanks to the clubs who regularly support the Club Focus edition. So, over to you, clubs.
This is VK6 ARN, and you're listening to News West.
The 2021 CQ Worldwide 160 Meter Contest takes place early in the year, and it's in two parts, CW and SSB. The CW contest is next weekend, beginning at 2200 Zulu, January the 29th, and running to 2200 Zulu on January the 31st. And similarly, the SSB contest runs from February the 26th to February the 28th. Note that these are 48-hour contests. The objective is for amateurs around the world to contact other amateurs in as many US states, Canadian provinces and countries as possible, utilising the 160-metre band. An international contest of 160 metres presents a challenge to anyone, especially here in Australia because of our geographic isolation, and also because it's difficult to host an effective antenna for 160 metres in an urban backyard. This has been addressed in the rules, which allow single operators to use a remote receiving station. The rules say the use of one and only one remote receiver located within 100 kilometres of the main transmitter site is permitted. In addition to the receiver at the transmitter site, web SDRs are okay, but must be located within the 100 kilometre limit. The rule is designed to accommodate new technology and for those who experience high noise levels at the transmitting site. The rules also make allowance for large antennas and for all categories. The rules say that the main site is defined as all transmitters, receivers and antennas must be located on the same contiguous property. If the property is not contiguous, then all equipment must fall within a 1,500-metre radius. All antennas must be connected by wires to the main station. This rule applies to all entrants. If you're considering entering either of the CQ Worldwide 160-metre contests, you should look at the rules, which are on the website, cq160.com. That's cq160.com. If you are going to have a go at the 160-metre contest, good luck, and please let us know how you got on.
Well, if you missed last Sunday's VK6 Gardening Net Episode 1, rest assured you can tune in this Sunday at 5 p.m. Western on 3.620 Lower Side to catch up with the latest in gardening. This week's episode will be focusing on soil conditioning and fertilisers, and in coming episodes we'll be looking at plant disease, creepy crawlies, seed production and propagation, and your most successful crops, and a whole lot more. So even if you're remotely interested in gardening or have some handy tips and advice to pass on to others, join us on 3.620, 5 p.m. Western Standard Time on the VK6 Gardening Net. This is VK6, Juliet Echo Fox, 73s.
Virgin Orbit's Launcher 1 Launch Demo 2 mission carried AMSAT's newest satellite to orbit last Sunday, January the 17th. Virgin Orbit announced via Twitter that payloads were successfully deployed into our target orbit. We are so proud to say that Launcher 1 has now completed its first mission to space, carrying 9 CubeSat missions into low Earth orbit for our friends at NASA. RadFXSat-2, like RadFXSat/Fox-1B, now AMSAT Oscar 91, is a partnership opportunity between Vanderbilt University and AMSAT and will carry a similar radiation effects experiment studying new FinFET technology. RadFXSat-2 is the fifth and final Fox-1 satellite built by AMSAT. The RadFXSat-2 spacecraft bus is built on the Fox-1 series but features a linear transponder upgrade to replace the standard FM transponder in Fox-1A through D. In addition, the uplink and downlink bands are reversed from the previous Fox satellites in a mode V/U/J configuration using a 2-meter uplink and a 70-centimeter downlink. The downlink features a 1200 BPS BPSK telemetry channel to carry the Vanderbilt science data in addition to a 30 kHz wide transponder for amateur radio use. Telemetry and experimental data can be decoded using the FoxTelem version 109 or later. FoxTelem is available at the AMSAT.org website. Participation in telemetry collection by as many stations in as many parts of the world as possible is essential, as AMSAT engineering looks for successful startup and indications of the general health and function of the satellite as it begins to acclimatize to space. AMSAT will send a commemorative 3D printed QSL card to the first station capturing telemetry from RadFXSat-2. Thanks to the AMSAT News Service for the bulletin. If you're interested in playing with telemetry from this satellite, you need to visit the AMSAT website to find out how and what's expected of you.
If it's not amateur radio, it's not amateur radio news. News West is dedicated to amateur radio for amateur radio operators. This is VK6 ARN, and I'm Bob VK6 POP.
Amateur radio on the International Space Station, known by the acronym ARIS, inspires students worldwide to pursue interests and careers in science, technology, engineering, and math through amateur radio communication opportunities with the International Space Station, ISS, on orbit crew. Students learn about life on board the ISS and explore Earth from space through science and math activities. ARIS provides opportunities for the school community, that's students, teachers, families and community members, to become more aware of the substantial benefits of human spaceflight and the exploration and discovery that occur on spaceflight journeys. Students have the opportunity to learn about space technologies and the technologies involved with space communications through exploration of amateur radio. Amateur radio organisations and space agencies in the USA, Russia, Canada, Japan and Europe sponsor this educational opportunity by providing the equipment and operational support to enable communications between the crew on the ISS and students around the world via amateur radio. Hundreds of amateur radio operators around the world work behind the scenes to make these educational experiences possible. Amateur radio is a very popular hobby and a service in which licensed participants operate communications equipment with a deep appreciation of the radio art. ARIS was created and is managed by an international working group, including several countries in Europe as well as Japan, Russia, Canada and the US of A. The organisation is run by volunteers from the National Amateur Radio Organisations and the International AMSAT, or Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, organisations from each country. Since ARIS is international in scope, the team coordinates locally with their respective space agency as an international team through ARIS working group meetings, teleconferences and webinars. Scheduled ARIS amateur radio contacts with the ISS are conducted either by direct contact or by telebridge contact. The method used will depend on the radio station equipment and experienced radio amateur volunteers available to support the contact, as well as technical issues related to the orbit of the ISS over the contacted location. Because the ARIS program supports the testing and installation of amateur radio stations aboard the ISS, astronauts have the equipment available to also make unscheduled ham radio contacts with radio amateurs all around the world on a one-to-one basis during their personal time. With a very limited investment in amateur radio equipment, licensed hams, including students who have access to amateur radio stations in a classroom, can make individual contact with astronauts aboard the ISS by learning to follow the published orbital schedule and practice some basic amateur radio contact techniques. You can learn more about ARIS at their website, www.aris.org, www.aris.org. 73s.
Will VK6UU has been delving through a pile of historical amateur radio club records and has been posting some interesting stuff to the email list. The next News West History episode is on about 4 weeks' time, and I'll see what I can do to put some items together based on the material that Will has been publishing. Of course, I'd be really happy if someone in the great out there would put together some of their memories for a News West History item. I can assist you to make your information into a story. You just need to ask. And as always, your story, recorded in your own voice, is tops for us. However, we can also arrange for your story to be recorded. The News West contact is newswest@vk6.net. Now, a few weeks ago, we spent a fair bit of time and energy talking about bullying and how it affects individuals and the reputation of the hobby. Andrew did a particularly good piece about bullying, and I encouraged him to send it to the WIA National News in order to pass the message to a wider audience. Sadly, Andrew's piece wasn't used, and the National News team didn't advise Andrew that it was going to be rejected or why. So Andrew contacted the National News team leader and asked why. The response was, to say the least, pathetic. The official line was that it was rejected because it was only an opinion piece. The following week, the National News included an item by Jeff VK4ZPP, saying basically the same things, and signing with, "That's what I think, how about you?" As far as I'm concerned, if it looks like an opinion piece and smells like an opinion piece, it is an opinion piece. Has our National News team lost its impartiality, or has it lost its editorial freedom? That's what I ask, how about you? And still on our Wireless Institute, I'm commenting as a WIA member here. Every week on the National News, we are reminded of the WIA board's blog on the WIA website. The last entry on that blog was November last year. Now over to the board minutes. The latest set on display is October 2020, and the minutes don't show a lot of stuff happening. Feel free to wander on over and take a look for yourself. Access is to members only. The bottom line, however, is if you're happy with the Wireless Institute or unhappy about something that they are doing or indeed not doing, tell them so. Email all of the directors to bypass any filters that may be in place. Today, for the first time,
I used the text search facility on the Amateur Radio Magazine archive maintained by Will, VK6 Uniform Uniform. It worked really well and helped me build up the story that I was researching. Most of the stories for the News West history segments are sourced from the AR Magazine archive and the Trove website, which is an archive of digitised newspapers, magazines and journals. Trove is managed by the National Library of Australia.
The 2021 CQWPX RITI contest is coming up soon, on the weekend of February the 13th and 14th, and it starts at midnight UTC Saturday and ends at 23:59 hours UTC Sunday. It's another chance to brush the dust off your RITI machine and have a go at this international contest. We won't go into the rules because they're almost identical to the CQWW contest, and besides, it pays to peruse the rules yourself rather than rely on an abridged description that we would be giving you. I note with interest the bit in the rules that says single operators are restricted to only 30 hours of operation in this contest. I think for most of us there's no danger of busting that rule. Good luck in having a go at contests coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Hello everyone, I'm Glenn, VK4DU, the President of RASA. We have been forwarded an email from the WIA President, Greg Kelly, in which he claims that ACMA actually removed the requirement to obtain a new call sign when moving interstate 27 years ago. Apparently this happened when the CE call sign block was deregulated in 1994, and it's all too hard to change. Well, Greg is incorrect, and I speak from personal experience. I moved from VK1 to VK4 in 2000, and when I queried the local ACMA office, they made it very clear that I needed a new call sign, which I of course obtained. Two amateur friends of mine moved from VK1 to VK2, one in 2010 and the other in 2017. They continued to use their VK1 call signs in VK2. After complaints from local amateurs, ACMA made both change their call sign to VK2. So it's obvious that the change to ACMA policy re-amateurs moving interstate is a recent development. However, the ACMA changes are not a fait accompli. Government decisions can be challenged, but the onus is on you, amateurs of Australia. You may feel very strongly about retaining the number state territory connection, or you may fancy a VK9 call sign to use in Sydney. It's up to you. Write to ACMA and tell them what you think. Oh, and by the way, I did a bit of further research and it appears that the number state territory system was first used just prior to World War I in 1914. So it's actually 107 years old. Cheers for now.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
This is a final call for anyone who wishes to do AMC amateur radio assessments on Saturday the 20th of February at Ham College. There's a significant time delay in requests for papers being received and their arrival into Perth. And so if you want to do foundation, practical, regulations, standard or advanced assessments, then express an interest on the college website, that's hamcollege.org.au, by close of business this Monday, that's tomorrow, the 25th of January. A circular on the Southern Electronics Group mailing list saw a great response from some amateurs who would like to become AMC assessors. You can, of course, apply directly to the AMC, but there seem to be some processing delays. If you'd like to volunteer your services, the hobby would be very grateful. And again, please express an interest via hamcollege.org.au. The next Foundation Weekend course is in February, but it's now full. And our next course on the weekend of the 10th and the 11th of April, with assessments on the 20th, is now open for enrolments. The College will hopefully soon be able to advise on dates for the Combined Regulations, Standard and Advanced course for 2021. This is Andrew, Victor Kilo 6, Alpha Sierra, Enrolments Officer at Ham College.
Good morning, everyone. This is Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 24th of January 2021. Today I have a request from Kevin, VK6 Kilo Quebec. He's looking for a base unit for an elevated broadband vertical antenna used with British military Klansman VHF radios, and as a C connector to suit the Klansman heavy-duty coax, and is commonly known as the pineapple. Watch out for those pineapples that go bang. But this one's an elevated broadband vertical antenna, in inverted commas. I'll say again, elevated broadband vertical antenna used with the British military Klansman VHF radio. If you have one or would like to part with it or know where you can find one, please call Kevin. He's looking for this commonly known as a pineapple radio, or the antenna base for it at least anyway. Please call him on 0429-788-898. That's for Kevin, VK6 Kilo Quebec. Did I say Kilo Quebec? Yes, that's correct. 0429-788-898. And next item, some little time ago, John, VK6 Alpha Uniform, had a satellite dish antenna kit, and someone accepted it and took it away to a new home, but did not have the box or the instruction sheet. The manual has since been found, and they're ready to pick up if you're the proud owner of that new dish antenna, in fact. Please contact John, 0892917908. 0892917908. Email to alpha sierra alpha lima india figure 2 at westnet.com.au. alpha sierra alpha lima india figure 2 at whiskey echo sierra tango november echo tango dot charlie oscar mike dot alpha uniform. And that's all I have for you for this week. So thank you once again for listening. 7-3. If you have any items for next week, please don't fail to contact me. The address, Victor Kilo 6X-Ray Victor at bigpond.com. VK6X-Ray Victor at bigpond.com. And until next week or beyond, we'll catch you later. 7-3 from Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor.
Thanks for listening. Next week, it's up to the clubs to tell us what they're getting up to, and we look forward to hearing about what's going on at your club or special interest group. Thanks to the team this week, Roy, Jeff and Andrew, who's filling in for Mike, who apparently has a note from his mum saying that he's sick. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors for doing their bit. I'm Bob VK6POP, and I'm still the News West producer, and sometime this year, I'd like to change that. All we need to do is to find someone more handsome, witty and intelligent than I, and we'd be home and hosed. So please form what will most likely be a very long queue outside the studio door. 7-3 and good DX from the News West team. Please stand by for callbacks, then before you switch off the radio, get on air and make some noise.